And welcome back to Masked Monologues. Today, I have a special guest with me, Gia Prism, and she is a medium. She works with spiritual creativity or spirits and creativity. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do, how you got started, and what your book is all about?
Yes. So I am a psychic medium, as you said, but before that, long before that, I have been an artist, a poet, a writer, and many different mediums, a creator. And so for many years of my life, I didn't know that I was psychic. That actually opened up in my 30s because I expected it to look like it does in the movies, very big and dramatic with ghosts walking around. I didn't recognize that what I was already working with was psychic ability, was intuitive ability. And a lot of that manifested through my creativity. So as my mediumship began to open up and I began to study it and learn how to use it intentionally so I could open up a business, I discovered that a lot of the same mechanisms I use to connect with spirit are in fact the same tools and abilities within myself I used creatively. Turns out I've been channeling all along, whether it was poetry or these spirits beyond the veil. And that is really what my book is about. It's called Messages from the Stars, How the 20th Century's Greatest Artists and Visionaries Lived Their Art and What They Have to Teach Us from Beyond the Veil. What ended up happening is that in 2018, I began to be visited by a series of very famous artists, spirits, first beginning with David Bowie and then bringing through a number of famous spirits from beyond the veil. There are 25 in total who came forward to be included in this book, whether I had spirit conversations with them or I channeled them directly through my body. And so this book is a collection of those channelings and those conversations. I really tried to blend my personal experience with their words. So not only are you getting what they said directly, but you're getting really these personal essays about where I was at in my life, what I was struggling with, where I was having these creative blocks, and how these spirits helped me get through that. So I think this is a beautiful model of how to work with spirit, to develop ourselves, to work through our pains, to use our pains as creators, and how to develop a more spiritual connection so that the art we create really can change the world. If we're working directly with the muses, directly with spirit, directly with our sources of inspiration, then our art really becomes turbocharged and it has magic. And that's what I want to talk about with you today.
Yes. No, I love your brief overview of what you do. I just am curious about the channeling spirits in regards to creativity. I'm wondering, you said that Hollywood paints out being a psychic as this just like epiphany, this event where you realize that you can see a ghost or you can connect with the spirit. Can you tell us when you first realized that you were a psychic and what that situation was for you? Was it over time where you noticed these small, subtle changes completely in regards to your creativity and then you identified as being a psychic? Or was there just one encounter that changed your entire point of view?
Yeah, most of it was gradually over time, but there was one moment in particular where I knew I was a medium. So it was in late 2015 or mid 2015. And I really felt this pull to study spirituality. And the way I describe it is it's like a tractor beam. I could not resist this call. It just was pulling me here, read this book, find this blog, talk to these people, go to this conference. I was just led down this path to get into this world of spirituality. I was raised religious. And so this was totally foreign to me. I had no idea where this desire came from, but I couldn't deny it. So I kept following those little breadcrumbs, following the nudges, and I finally felt compelled to open an energy healing business. And the modality I chose is called the emotion code. And I chose it because you don't need to be intuitive at all. You use muscle testing or applied kinesiology. There's a little chart. They really designed it so that anyone could use it. And I thought, sweet, I'm not very intuitive, but I really have this desire to help people. So I'm going to use this method. And so it was through using this method. And for anyone who's not familiar with the emotion code, it is a tool for helping process trapped emotions or buried emotional trauma. And it's based in ancient Chinese medicine with the idea that unprocessed emotional energy becomes trapped in the body. And the energies of that emotion can really wreak havoc physically, emotionally, in all kinds of ways. And so this is a roadmap for helping you find out what these trapped emotions are and to remove them. So the method itself, like I said, not intuitive. You muscle test, you use the chart, bada bing, bada boom, we clear some things out. But what was happening to me is that as I had these clients sitting down with me, and as I would be moving through this chart, I noticed a lot of things within my body. And the first and foremost is that I was feeling the emotion within me. Oftentimes, before I would even get to the final emotion, I would start to feel this physical and emotional energy in me. And then further from that, I was starting to get just massive downloads of information about the time that the emotion was trapped. Mm-hmm. So for example, and these clients don't know, they're coming to me because they don't know why they're stuck. And so we're using this method to try to figure it out. And so I would have someone before me and I'd be using this thing, and suddenly everything in my body was screaming out the story about this trapped emotion. Oh my gosh, when you were 8 years old, your best friend moved away and you developed this belief that no one will stick by you. No, whatever the case may be. I was just getting this flood of information. And the client's sitting there stunned and they're crying and they're like, how did you know? Like, it's these incredible moments with these clients. So I did learn very swiftly that I am psychic. And there is a difference between being a psychic and being a psychic medium. Mm-hmm. The medium is where you're talking to spirits.
Yes.
So that was the part I didn't yet know. So being psychic, once that turned on, the big aha for me, and remember, this was 2015, 16. Not everybody knew what an empath was. Mm-hmm. We didn't even have the books and the science really behind. We know now, of course, trauma is trapped in the body. Of course, we have to get rid of these. That was not like mainstream at the time. So having all this information was like, oh my God, I'm psychic. That's crazy. But okay, cool. Let's keep going. Mm-hmm. So I remember in particular, there was this one client session in 2016. And she was actually a friend of mine in the neighborhood. And so she came over to my house. Usually I work over Zoom. But this one, she came to my house. And so I walked her back to the back room. I went and made sure my kids were all situated and said, okay, mom's going to go to the normal stuff.
Yes.
And as I was doing that, I noticed a very intense prickling sensation on the back of my neck, that all the hair standing up kind of feeling.
Yes.
And I was like, this is new. Okay. And just trying to keep open, be aware. I knew it would be relevant in the session, but I didn't yet know what it was. And so as we were going through this session, a big part of the modality is you can actually inherit trapped emotions. And so what happened in that moment is, as we're going through and I'm finding this trapped emotion, and as I was about to say, I feel like this one is inherited. My client said, I've really been feeling strongly that my grandmother has been here with me. And it was like that feeling on the back of my neck, just like cranked up to 100. I felt like this massive wind blew into the room, pushed me forward, not actually, but this was that force being compelled. And yes. I just shouted, she's here. And again, just that word vomit, I just started saying, because I get these massive downloads of information and just started saying all this stuff. And she's just in tears and she could feel the energy, and everything I was saying about this woman was true. And she validated everything I said. So that was the moment I knew, okay, I actually am working with something here. This is a real thing. I am talking to the dead, because there was no way I could have known any of that stuff. And I didn't even know what I was going to say until it was like pouring out of my mouth. Really dramatic experience. Because like I said, in the movies, it's a visual medium. So they will make the ghost walk around your house, bother you in the night, and they'll knock things over and they'll be real creepy. That wasn't my experience at all. And it never has been. So I had to learn this entirely different language of intuition, which is much more internal than it is in the movies. It's this internal, suddenly I know, or the physical sensations, or seeing images in your mind. And so you have to go through this process of learning to determine, what is your imagination? What are you creating? What are you making up in your mind? And what is actually being dropped in by spirit? Yes. And so going through that process, I was understanding there's a very fine line between creating and receiving. And so that's where I really started getting interested in, what is the connection between creativity and intuition? Is it really the same thing? Is there ever any such thing as creating, or is there a difference, or is it all the same thing?
Yes. And do you believe that being in tune with your intuition, the thoughts in your mind, I guess for you, spirits around your atmosphere, does that enable you to be more creative? Is it conducive to creativity? So do you ever get ghosts or spirit pop around and then you get this intense urge to go to a creative outlet and express yourself? Or are there messages you get from spirits which incline you to be more creative? Or how does that work for you? Because this is such a difficult concept to gain an understanding of. as it's not literal.
Well, for me, it was very literal because this book is actually full of conversations with spirits. So I would feel them enter the room, both physically and have my intuitive senses switch on of I feel who's here. I know who's here. I know what they're going to say. And actually, throughout the book, I talk about all the different ways that this manifests, because not only is it different from person to person, like the medium, it's different depending on the spirit and how they come through. So it's not always the same every time. But for most of them, it was as though they were delivering this completed, it's almost like they just dropped a whole essay right in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I would feel this whole thing come in and I would, usually it was on my phone. I would grab my notes app and open it up and I'd be typing as fast. And it was like, I was transcribing it in my mind. It would just unfold. And as fast as I could write, that's how quickly the words came out. Other times it was more like in a mediumship session where they would come in and we'd have a conversation and we'd go back and forth. And then I do another type of channeling, which is called trance mediumship, which is like the movies where I go in a trance and close my eyes and I allow the spirit to speak through me. So they join my energy and I'm speaking as them. So what I noticed very early on in this process is that same feeling of when the spirit came in and this information, this idea, these words that they were delivering through me, that is exactly how it feels when I write poetry. No difference whatsoever. And so that again confirmed to me of we're working with the same physical mechanism. This creativity, this divine inspiration is literal.
Yes.
And I don't know if we have very specific poet muses. The ancients believe that. The Greeks certainly believe that there were very specific spirits who did this. And all I can tell you is that through my process of channeling these beings, I am convinced that this is literal, that there are spirits, whether it's like a person, an actual Bowie wants to write a song with you, or whether it's more that there are these energies, these creative ideas. They're not people necessarily, but it's a living, breathing energy, an idea, a product, a vision that wants to be born through somebody. And maybe this is, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say everyone, every artist creates this way. But me having both artistic ability and a history of being an artist, now coupled with my psychic abilities that I developed, it's working with the same mechanism. And I would wager to bet that at least half of the creatives are already doing this. We just don't know that we're actually being psychic when we're creating.
And when you say that we're being psychic when we're creating, and I know you're a medium, so you can connect with spirits, with ghosts, the spiritual realm. Do you notice that you can differentiate your writing based on the spirit you've talked to or just had a conversation with? So let's say that you're talking to one spirit who was a musician versus a spirit who was a poet. Are you able to differentiate those two spirits just in terms of the writing that you transcribe?
For this book, it was very specific in that they made it known that they were who they were. And so I would see them, I would feel them, and they had very specific, distinct ways of speaking. So there was slang, there were different, I noticed that the speech patterns were entirely different depending on who I channeled. So for the purposes of this book, yes, there was a huge difference because they made it very clear that I am who I am and I am coming forward as me. But when it comes to my own creative process, we'll just say previously before I was working as a psychic, when I did a lot more writing, even when I was a healer, I worked as a healer for a couple years before I was explicitly doing mediumship. And the types of things that I wrote, they had different feelings to it. My vocabulary would shift. And even when I wasn't explicitly creative writing, I was a journalist before I did this. I was working professionally as a writer. And even, okay, so it's not particularly creative, but there was a feeling, that feeling of being in flow. It was like the piece was writing itself. Like it was already there. I'm just here like leaning in and boom, it just comes through. I rarely had to do any revisions. It was one time, boom, and done. But I noticed the difference between that and say when I wrote my personal essay part for this book, it was much more of a struggle. Struggle meaning there's that back and forth and I'm agonizing over word choice. And is that really how... What did I wanted to say? Oh, I don't know. The tone feels off, or I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about that. So it was very different depending on what I was writing and who I was channeling. And that's not to say that I haven't been in my own creative flow writing my personal essays where it did just boom, come out, but it was entirely different than when I had these specific beings come through.
Yes. And I'm wondering for creatives out there, because there's this common tendency for creatives to write or create only when they find inspiration or only when they have this intuition, that creativity mindset. within them. Can you channel that just off of doing anything, a normal day situation, say you've just gone for a run or you're doing something completely unrelated to your creative endeavor? How could one channel that intuition, get in touch with that creative mindset?
This is something that I have really agonized over for the past, it was 5 years ago that Bowie first came through. So it's been 5 years that I've been working on this book and really working on that very topic. Because I have this idea of if we could learn to switch this on at will, can we? Can we do that? Mm-hmm. Can we learn to say, okay, I'm going to sit down at 2 p.m. and I'm going to write 3 chapters of my book and they're going to be absolutely amazing. Could we do that? Could we harness our creativity that way? And I have felt that we can encourage that. There are many things we can do to train our inspiration to come through at certain times. But I don't believe that we can ever completely control it because mm-hmm. I think so much of it is a product of we have to be a match for it. That's number one. And number two, not only a match like energetically, or are we the right artist to bring through this idea or this concept? We have to get inspired by life. And I find so much, this is both intuitively and as an artist, I am the most open when I'm doing other things. Some people, when they shower, when they do dishes, it's me when I'm driving and running mm-hmm. errands and I'm just tuning out. I don't think we will ever be able to have full control and switch it on at will. Yes. I think so much of it is just we're living our art. We're breathing our art. Our whole body is the mechanism for receiving inspiration. But I do believe that the more intentional we are, the more we have a reliable creative practice, and the more that we develop these intuitive channels. I really believe that if artists said, even if they just want to experiment, okay, maybe I am psychic, maybe I'm not, but let's just see. And they expanded those intuitive muscles. I think that gives us more control over how we can perform as artists and when and how reliably.
Yes. And you say that you're mainly a poet or and a writer, or are there other creative endeavors that you've done in the past?
I would say those are the ones I'm most comfortable sharing.
Okay.
Those are my favorite mediums. But yes, I dabbled as a painter, as a multimedia visual artist, and I've written music. I've played bass guitar, piano. Those ones are more for me, for my own personal creativity. But the things that I feel are the most finished products that I share are through writing.
Okay. And you said that, I just want to go back to your book. You said that you wrote down these conversations. Once you transcribed these conversations, did you ever refer back to them and maybe edit them, tweak a couple things here and there, or was it just raw?
It was raw. And this is why I chose to self-publish and not go with a traditional publisher, because I wanted them left exactly as is. There were very few exceptions. I want to say 2 or 3, like very few, where I maybe felt like I had, did I get that right? I'm not really sure. And so I would invite the spirit to come back and have a conversation so I could, you know, ask about it and get their permission, because these are their words. This is not mine. I'm just the messenger. So yeah, I really kept the integrity of those words intact as best I could.
Can you share a couple of tidbits from those conversations and the advice you received from these spirits?
Sure. Oh, geez, where to narrow it down? Not only have I referred to these multiple times personally, because this was, man, like as much as this is a book for everyone, they came to me personally and I got to ask them questions and I got to have these dialogues. To say this was life-changing is like understatement of the century. This was absolutely transformative in every way. When it comes to being an intentional artist, I'm going to say David Bowie is the one who's really been leading this call. And not only was he the first spirit who came through, he's the one who's come through most often. In fact, he's been a constant presence in my life. There hardly a day goes by when I don't talk to him still to this day. He's very deeply involved in my work. And this is even more his message than mine. Mm-hmm. This concept of being intentional as an artist, and I call it interdimensional art.
Yes.
It's not just that I'm creating a piece. It's that I know consciously that I am working with other realms and other dimensions, and I'm harnessing that ability to magnify my art. And so I will read some from his section because he really talks about that. And I'm not sure how much you want me to read. I won't go on forever here.
Yes, just a paragraph maybe.
Okay, let me thumb through here. So I'm going to read these 2 paragraphs because I think they really nail that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is David Bowie. The process of making art is different for everyone, of course. I can't possibly tell you in broad strokes what it means to create art, but I can tell you that you must learn to understand your own artistic mechanism. And this is a lifelong pursuit. It will change over time and it will change again and again. Once you think you've mastered it, it will be time to start all over again. You can't keep going back to the same old well. You've got to live your life as art. Breathe energy through your cells. Synthesize your inspirations within you. This is the only way to create. Otherwise, it's not creation. It's regurgitation.
Now, that's very, I love that's very informative. Very, it's applicable to all artists out there who want to create. And it's just about, you know, instead of regurgitating what you've heard before, create your own art. Live the art that you're creating.
And it really pushed me to overhaul my entire life. Mm-hmm. Because being a very creative person my whole life, I was also raised by very rational parents where everything was about, yes, we're going to set you up for success. We're mm-hmm. going to be, my dad to this day is extremely analytical and there's a right way to do everything. He's very mm-hmm. that way. And so me being a creative person, I just unconsciously my whole life kept my creativity in little boxes. This mm-hmm. is something I do when I have some free time. This is something I do when I'm done with homework. This is something, it was just yep. the side thing that we do. And so Bowie really pushed me to make it an integrated part of who I am, mm-hmm. not only because I could create art at a moment's notice, but to revamp my home, to revamp my wardrobe, to create mm-hmm. experiences that have this creative, curious, artistic flow. And that's why I say not only has he been the most active in my work, but in my life, and absolutely changed everything by telling me to live my life as a work of art.
Yes. No, that's an inspirational message for all artists out there. I'm wondering, can you give us some concrete examples of how you've taken his advice and basically placed it into your life, your poetry? Are there certain things that you do? Maybe it's going out for a walk and just observing the nature around you, writing about it or talking to friends, connecting with those spirits and creating art.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I'm going to have to go back to Bowie on this one. So a lot of our conversations, I've channeled almost all of them. And that will be the second book as a book just with Bowie talking about art and creativity. And so I would ask him just like an interview, like if he were real and physically and he would sit down and I would have this great opportunity to interview David Bowie. Like that's how I treated this. Mm-hmm. And so I would take these notes and we'd have these conversations and then, okay, we'd finish up. I'd go off. I'd think about it. I have a couple friends who also have intuitive ability. And so they've been part of this process with me because then I would mm-hmm. call them up or we'd be on Messenger and be like, oh my gosh, yes. And we'd talk about it and we'd hash it out. And then as I go throughout my day, I would think about it and act on it, et cetera. He's pushed me in literal ways. He's popped in when I've been at the store buying clothes and basically been like, you coward, come on, dress like an artist, be creative, show the world your true colors. So there have been things like that as well. I think the very creation of my work as Gia Prism is art because I've taken this mishmash of being an artist, being a psychic, being a channel. And I have made this visual creation. I'm very proud of my website. I designed it myself. I've redesigned it a million times. Mm-hmm. That's another, absolutely one of my arts. I've designed the cover of my book and really just this concept of Gia Prism. She is a mishmash of the things that I'm personally interested in and invested in, as well as things that Bowie has taught me. And then things that I've learned in my years as a healer long before Bowie came through. Because I believe that part of the process of helping artists open up their creativity is to heal, is to work on this emotional trauma, is to clear the body of these trapped energies. I think creative blocks really can come down to emotional blocks. It's the same thing. And so if I apply my work as a healer to artists, specifically helping them unravel their creative blocks, I know this isn't a traditional art like a painting, but this is what I mean by living your life as art and taking these inspirations. It's visual, it's aesthetic, and it's creating a lived experience that is a very beautiful artistic mishmash of all my inspirations. I've also written a lot, not through Gia Prism. Obviously, that's not my real name. That's the name he gave me, and I freaking love it. But through myself personally, written essays about the intersection of psychic ability and neurodivergence. Now, that's something that I experience and I'm working with. I have two autistic children, mm-hmm. and I'm autistic and have ADHD as well. And so looking at the things that are our symptoms or our sensitivities or our problems, they actually are assets to me as a psychic. And so taking these two seemingly different things that people aren't really talking about, connecting the dots, I'm talking about it. I'm connecting the dots and mm-hmm. I'm creating a body of work around this.
No, that's a wonderful mission to have. With that, I'd like to wrap up this episode. So if you want to shout out to your website, social media platforms, where can people find you and have a look into what you do.
My website is giaprism.com, G-I-A-P-R-I-S-M. And my socials, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, and they're all at giaprism. And the book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and through wherever you get e-readers. It's both paperback and digital ebook form.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful having you on this podcast, and I believe that our viewers will definitely be able to get some great insights from this conversation. So if you viewers, listeners like this episode and you want more episodes like this, please share it with a friend or family member.
Thank you so much for having me. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.